It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Bill Ford Tough Studio.
You know, I was also reading, because you know me, I love to read these things, and I just did that Sports Minute on Arch Manning because a number of the sports writers were talking to him about next year's NFL draft.
Of course, yeah.
And everybody's assuming he's going to be the number one guy picked, and I can understand why. And I remember 2 years ago, I was with Eli Manning, and we were doing a question Q&A over at MetLife Stadium, and one of the questions that was asked of Eli was, did you give your nephew any advice about going to Texas? And he goes, yeah, go get a couple dozen cases of Busch Light, hang out with your buddies, and love your college experience, because it only comes around once in your life. And certainly Eli had a great time at Ole Miss, and Peyton had a great time at Tennessee, and I bet you both of those uncles, I don't think they were making any money back in those days, but
well,
you never know what
they weren't supposed to be.
Yeah, but now their nephew is making a ton of dough by being the quarterback at the University of Texas, which, you know, and I got a little annoyed that the reporters weren't asking him really about Texas and Ohio State. They were talking about next year's draft as if he's already cemented to be the number one pick if he wants to come out. Now, the interesting thing for me as a football fan, an NFL football fan, is who would have the number one pick if you could project now to next year's draft?
The Giants.
Well, I mean, the Giants could be one, but they drafted Jackson Dart. But if they had the number one overall pick and they could convince Arch Manning to come out, they would trade Jackson Dart. There's no question about that, I would think.
Well, if Arch Manning ends up having the year that he's expected to have. And
yeah, or maybe what happens if Jackson Dart does end up starting at some point this year for the Giants and has a great season, and the Giants don't go on to have the number one overall pick. I'm thinking the team that's going to have the number one overall pick, if I had to just guess right now.
Okay.
And speculate.
Speculate.
Because that's what we do in sports talk. We speculate.
Nah, speculation.
I would say the Saints.
That would be perfect for a Manning, huh?
And then what happens if that's the case?
And then what happens?
What Arch Manning named after Archie Manning.
Yeah, right.
It would be unbelievable.
It'd be great. That's why I said it'd be perfect for a Manning.
But I still think that kid's going to stay in school. He'll spend at least 2 years there, unless he has some unbelievable, you know, great season this year, and he's far and away the best. And, you know, obviously you can see that he can actually run, unlike his uncles.
Now, the Saints' strength of schedule, is it anywhere near as daunting as the Giants is? Because that's one of the reasons why I feel like the Giants are going to have a rough one, even though they have improved, and I liked a bunch of the things that they did in the offseason, but like they have a massively tough road ahead in 2025.
Yeah, I mean, you never know what the team, you have to wait and see what happens and how things break out. All right, so, you know, you're looking at Arizona, San Francisco, Seattle, Buffalo, Giants, New England, Chicago, Tampa Bay, the Rams, you know, obviously Carolina, Atlanta, they got Miami, Tampa Bay, Carolina, they have the Jets. I mean, you know, they're all tough schedules.
So but you know, some are tougher than others. So they're playing their own division, obviously, which is the NFC South.
Right. So they start at home both games, Arizona and San Francisco, are going to be in New Orleans. And right now, they're either going to have Tyler Shuck as their quarterback, the kid from Arkansas that they drafted, or who's that other guy down there?
Well, here's a guy that I know. I don't need to even look it up because I've been talking
about
him.
Spencer Rattler.
Spencer Rattler. So the other day I brought to you a song that appeared to me on TikTok, and I've been playing it on the boat. My wife actually said, this is the first song I've been excited about in like a year. And I see it's from Hoodie Allen.
Yes.
And Hoodie Allen, I look up, guy from Plainview, New York, and this song is great. And he's in his 30s. I feel like I have a connection with Hoodie Allen. So I talk about it. Hoodie Allen hears that we talk about it. He gets 100 texts from his friends. He goes, my friends don't even pay attention when I got millions of views on TikTok, but I mentioned on Boomer and Geo, I got 100 texts. And he sends me a picture of you and like a 6-year-old him at Jets camp at Hofstra, which we're showing on CBS Sports Network now.
He was a cute little kid back then.
Indeed.
Yes.
So we worked it out where he would call in this morning, and here he is. Pretty Face just came out a few days ago, the remix of the Jesse McCartney song. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Hoodie Allen. Hoodie, good morning. What's happening?
I made sure that I would actually wake up in time to call in and speak to you guys today. Thank you so much for having me. This is awesome.
Yeah, and I was a little bit worried because, you know, it came to 9 o'clock again. I'm like, man, is he going to sleep till 10 or 10:30 again? So, all right. So, I mean, I got a million things to ask you, but first off, I gotta ask you about this Jets camp Boomer Esiason picture. So tell us about your memories of that and how that came about.
I'm pretty sure that was 1994 Jets training camp at Hofstra. And Boomer, you, since that time, have been my favorite Jets player ever. You were so kind to everyone. I think you mentioned this the other day that this was one of your favorite things, but you truly stayed around and waited and met with everyone, which I cannot say for Neil O'Donnell, who we had to chase down in the parking lot afterwards.
Well, I appreciate that, Hoodie. I appreciate those memories. Yeah, that's great.
It was great. It was really nice. So thank you for that. It makes a difference for people.
So I don't know how things end up in my algorithm, but I'm really happy that you did with this song, because I'm playing it all the time, and we played a little bit of it on the show the other day. So did this all come from, because you posted an interview with the pop singer Jesse McCartney? It said, you know, no one's ever remixed Pretty Face, which is a big hit, and he said he reached out to Jack Harlow to do it. Was that your first time when you said, hey, if Jack Harlow's not going to do it, well, hell, I'm going to do it, that gave the idea to do this Pretty Face remix?
It actually worked in the reverse order, where I was in the studio and I thought this would be a really fun song to sample, Jesse McCartney's Beautiful Soul. And then I'm doing my little digging to make content and do TikTok as the people do nowadays. And I came upon that interview and I was like, this would be funny to just be a little self-deprecating and be like, well, I'm sorry, it's not Jack Harlow, but you're stuck with me, and here's my remix of your song. And thankfully, it's reached so many people. This is like not the norm. I mean, I've been doing this for a long time, but in the like new era, like usually this is kind of an outlier. So it's been really cool to reach so many new people.
Yeah, and I just saw that you had Jesse McCartney show up and you guys filmed a TikTok, so now it got to him, obviously, and now it's blowing up even further.
Yeah, it got to him, and he's been so nice about it and supportive, and yeah, you know, we'll take it. Song of the summer. If it's on Gio's boat, that's the only thing we need.
That is absolutely right. So, Hoodie, where are you living these days?
I'm here in Brooklyn, still a lifelong New Yorker. Lifelong big Jets fan.
Oh, God bless you.
I was going to say.
Never switching up.
I was going to say, you're still as passionate a Jets fan now as you were back in 1994?
I'm trying to be, for Jets Twitter, what Ben Stiller is for the Knicks. I'm trying to be the representative. So if this song can blow up a little bit more so they can start treating me like a little celebrity there, I'd appreciate it, Jets.
Yeah, we maybe know some people over there that could help you out with that. But, you know, the good thing is my former teammate, who happened to be a rookie in 1994, was Aaron Glenn.
Oh.
And Aaron Glenn now is the new head coach, as you know, of your New York Jets. And he's trying, I think, to emulate what Bill Parcells did when he came here.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I'm always optimistic at the start of a new era. That's sort of what being a Jets fan is like, get your hopes up and be ready to enjoy whatever happens. But I would say it's nice to have a guy who actually like wants the job. It seems like he chose the job. He wants to be here. His spirit hasn't been crushed yet. And so we're, you know, they're signing players who matter to the team. This is, I don't want to be too optimistic, but like, these are good signs, wouldn't you say?
I would say they are very good signs. And plus, you know, they've kind of been low key this offseason.
Sure. Not a lot
of time. They've won the offseason, like, you know, 3 years in a row with the coaching staff and, you know, obviously Aaron Rodgers and the unfortunate stuff that happened with him. But I think now what exactly Aaron Glenn is doing is taking a page out of the Bill Parcells book. He's going to make practice much more competitive. He's going to tell the players this is the way it works. And when they give money like they did to both Garrett Wilson and, of course, Sauce Gardner, then they're your leaders right there. And they're going to have to buy into everything that Aaron's selling in that locker room.
Oh, 100%. And like, as a fan, I'm ready to win the offseason by not being in the news all the time, by not – being on Pat McAfee all the time, even though he's great. You know, like, sometimes it's just nice to go under the radar so that the expectations aren't just
astronomical.
We are the
ridiculous
media.
Yeah.
And we're talking to musical artist and local guy Hoodie Allen, who's got the Pretty Face song out that is just tremendous, that I'm playing everywhere. And if you haven't heard it, you got to play it everywhere. And it's just like perfect. It was early 2000s. I mean, it's my sort of wheelhouse. You're a few years younger than me. So I know this is a big deal and you had some success in the past, but I mean, at this point, the attention that you're getting here and the millions of views that you're getting on TikTok with this particular song, where do you think it's going to go?
I have no idea. I just always think that I'll wake up and all the views will disappear and stuff. But so far it's been good. And just riding the wave with it, you know, just enjoying the fact that people are listening. It's awesome.
Yeah. And so what was like your first big hit and your first time that you sort of were on the scene? When was that?
Oh, man. So I've been an independent artist my whole career, so it's been a little different journey. I didn't sign to a label, and the first album I sort of had in 2012 was called All American, and we shot it, the album cover, at the at All American, the burger place in Merrick.
Nice.
And so it's always been very Long Island centric. But that was like my first independent release that charted on iTunes, and people started taking notice and being like, "Who is that guy?" So ever since then, for the last like 12 years or so, I've been full-time touring the world and doing music. It's been really awesome.
Yeah, well, I imagine that you're going to be much more of a hot commodity here and selling a ton of tickets with this, and I hope it continues to grow. And I'm really happy that you joined us today, and you're also a huge Jets fan. It's like I have this weird pride when people from Long Island end up doing...
well, we both do.
I mean, it's like there's millions and millions of us on Long Island, but when I see someone who created his own thing, I mean, he just said it. You know, the record label didn't have any of that, created his own thing, and he's doing it himself and TikTok and the views, and it's so talented, and I think it's great, man.
Well, I appreciate it so much, guys. And if you ever need an optimistic Jets fan to come on during the season, I will be here whenever you want. Whenever Boomer's feeling like, these Jets, I'm gonna bring him back to the vibes of 1994. Okay, we're gonna inject that positivity. So I'm here whenever for y'all.
Yeah, well, the problem is the memories of 1995 have left me scarred for life.
Oh no! Well, just take my memories. I was young and innocent.
Yeah, had no idea what was coming. Yeah, you'll be like the Joe Beningo anti venom is what Hoodie Allen will be for the Jets coming up in 2025. Thanks, man. Best of luck, and I'll be following you on social media.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
All right, see you. That is the great Hoodie Allen I've been
talking
about.
That's great. He remembers that like it was yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of kids do. Like I told you, I had, you know, my experiences of going to Vikings training camp and Mets spring training, and like those things are with you forever.
You know, I did have a memory at Jet Camp when I was in high school because they took the all Long Island high school football team to Jet Camp.
Yeah.
And that's where I got a chance to meet, you know, Joe Klecko and Marty Lyons and those guys, and then later on, I think they were there at that time. I think they were a little bit older than me. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, for you, you had so many like memories of your own playing in the NFL after that. For most of us, those are our core memories.
It was 1970. It would have been the summer of 79.
Okay.
I believe the summer, or maybe the fall of 78.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think if those guys were there.
I don't know. Well, take a look. Try to figure it out.
Yeah.
In the meantime, stream Pretty Face.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
You know, on Monday, I did not get stuck in the sand. I was this song was just playing and everything was working perfectly. I don't think we're allowed to play music today on the golf course, but if we are, Pretty Face by Hoodie Allen. Get me in the right mode.
Okay.
Bang.
Nice.
Right there. Snaps me right into action. Plainview, New York. All American. He took a picture of his album cover in front of All American Burger in Merrick. Oh, it's just the greatest. I love it. And now he's got millions and millions of people watching his TikTok because of this song. So good stuff from him. And then you can listen to him talk about the Jets, too, on the free Odyssey app if you go back to about 9:08 this morning. All right, Jerry Recco is back with us. He's got an update. He's got moment of the day. What's going on, Jerry?
We are brought to you by Sansone Auto Mall, Woodbridge, New Jersey.
You know what, Jerry?
Yeah.
I wanted to take this call while you were in here.
Okay.
So let's do this because I know you don't have a ton this morning because of the lack of sports. Jay and Neptune, what's going on, Jay?
Hey, love the show, guys.
Thanks, Jay.
I got a question for you. I live right across from a county golf course here in Monmouth County.
Sharp
I know
River.
Jerry's. You got it. And the one thing that gets me, all the upbeat interviews today, I bring up a sad subject where you had a young guy playing in a tournament up in North Jersey the other day, got hit by lightning, and he just passed away.
Yeah, well.
And the thing that gets me is, and what I don't understand is, and I'm right across from the third green, so my wife and I see everybody that comes through. The other day, in the storms that were blowing through, here you have guys out on the course, umbrellas up. They're like incredulous to these storms. I'm a retired lifeguard from Monmouth County, and I know we had alarms, and if a lightning bolt hit within 5 miles of the beach, my supervisor was out there in the truck telling people and clearing the beach, the boardwalk, everything. I know you guys are passionate about golf, and maybe it has something to do with the public, course, but I can never believe the guys that are out there playing in lightning and thunderstorms. I don't know if you guys have an opinion on that.
Well, a lot of places blow the horn and take you off the course. I mean, so most places have that, where if lightning is in the area or you see a lightning strike, the horn will blow and you have to get off the course at that point until they say play can resume. Now, I don't know if every public golf course has the ability to do that.
I think most golf courses do. I think they're required to have those. Only thing I will say for me personally is, when I started playing golf, it was in Cincinnati. And in the spring in Cincinnati, a ton of thunderstorms, tornadoes, things like that would come through. And I'll never forget, there was an incident like what just the previous caller just said in Cincinnati. And anytime there's any lightning, anything like that, anywhere near a golf course, I am off the golf course.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not around trying to be a hero. I don't care what my round looks like. I don't care who I'm playing with. I'm off. I am.
And hoping that it blows over and you can back out. Yeah, I mean, 100%. I mean, listen, I'll play in cold. I'll play in heat. I'll play in a drizzle. Yeah, storm cars running through. I don't care how lightning passionate you are. You got to get the hell out of there.
What was interesting, Gunner and I were playing the other day, and the golf course where we were playing, they set off the alarm. And I'm looking up, and it's sun. It's and all of a sudden, the guy texts me. He goes, "Oh, just so you know, we're testing the system."
Oh, okay.
So don't think that you have to come off the golf course. I'm like, I'm not coming off the golf course because the sun is out and there's not a cloud in the sky.
Right, of course. But when it starts getting dark and you hear that horn, just know there's someone watching the radar and paying attention to what's going on and trying to make sure everybody's safe.
It was Ballyowen is the golf club. I think Joe plays there from time to time. Joe B.
is the name of the place where the guy got struck by lightning.
Yeah, I looked it up. Terrible.
Yeah, I did not hear that story. That is as bad as it gets. I didn't know he was going to bring that up, but he did.
I get his point, though. Guys in a lot of cases, they only get to play once a week. Mm-hmm. Most people get to play once a week, once every couple of weeks, and they want to get their 18 holes in.
Yeah, and some people that, might play four times a year.
That too.
That are very busy and like, damn it, I don't even care what the weather's like. I'm going to play. And this was.
And there are some guys that play five times a week, like you.
Three. Okay. Average.
All right.
I think Jerry's five.
Four.
Yeah, so he's even more than me.
So I'm less than you guys.
Yeah.
That's hard to believe.
I am.
Well, on your vacation, how many times you play?
Six.
Okay. All right. I only played four on my vacation. Four times. All right, Jerry, what's happening,
man? Well, I mean, on that note, Oakmont has banned Wyndham Clark from its property after he damaged the locker following that miscut at the U.S. Open.
The blow pig.
According to, what's that?
That's his nickname, the blow pig.
The blow pig?
Yeah.
According to Golf Digest, his suspension can be reinstated contingent upon full repayment of damages, making a meaningful contribution to a charity of the club's choice, and by completing counseling and or anger management sessions.
Wow. They could do that? Tell you have to have anger management courses to be able to come back in here? That's amazing. Wow.
I guess so.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
How much property did he
destroy? Destroy, didn't say. Destroy. That I saw.
Well, they showed the lockers that he had broken. And I mean, there were several of them that were severely damaged.
$10,000?
Yeah, I don't know if it's that much.
Okay.
Worth of stuff. I mean, maybe fives.
So, all right, so serious question. I think the U.S. Open's back at Oakmont in like 7 or 8 years. If he qualifies, they wouldn't allow him on the premises if he didn't do any of these things?
That's right.
But that's an
open. USGA thing, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess if the USGA, I'm thinking, would be sensitive to the club rules.
Interesting.
The blow pig.
The blow pig, yes. Last night in the All-Star game, they were tied 6-6 after 9 after the American League had this big comeback down 6-0. They wound up winning on a swing-off, a home run derby of sorts. Three players got three swings, and because of Kyle Schwarber hitting the three, essentially, that put it away for the National League. Here was Edwin Diaz.
He just didn't want Pete Alonso to have to do it.
Well, Alonso was ready to go. He was yes. He was the one that was going to have to go for them if they were trailing or tied.
And he probably would have gotten the MVP had he got a chance, because he had a three-run bomb in the game.
To right field. That's exactly right. So he was a part of this. Edwin Diaz was a part of the game. He also used the ABS system to strike out Vladimir. No, it was Randy Arozarena. Sorry. Here was Diaz deciding to do it.
Two strike. Game style already, so... I thought the pitch was close. I just did the challenge to see where was the pitch. I get it.
He figured, why not give it a try in that spot?
It was pretty funny. Like, I did it. I wasn't sure it was a strike because it was really close. And as soon I saw the strike, I just started laughing and pointing the catcher at Arozarena.
And by the way, so Arozarena, Aranda, and Brent Rooker were the guys that did the home run swing off at the end. And Jeff Passan had this post about who it could have been. You know, Aaron Judge could have been. And Rooker replied to in the middle of the night, I guess I'm not good enough for you, Jeff. I thought it was pretty funny that he actually saw it. David Peterson was out there for the Mets. He threw an inning. He said he had a blast.
Going out there and being able to compete with all these guys, having the honor of being an all-star, and just playing with the best players in the league was a lot of fun and something I'll remember forever.
Now, on the other side of things, obviously Aaron Judge was in the mix here. So was Carlos Rodon. He went out and got... an inning. He enjoyed his time as well.
First one, it was fun. Just trying to enjoy the show. Go out there, attack the zone, and let them hit it. So worked out well.
So the first time we've seen the swing off, a tie goes to the National League. The season will restart on a Friday. The Jets signed Sauce Gardner, 4-year extension, $120 million. Terry McLaurin, the next receiver after Garrett Wilson, got the big money. You would think to be in line for a new deal, as he is certainly hoping for one. I'm not sure if he's going to report to camp if he doesn't have one. He did meet the media yesterday talking about how difficult these times have been.
Yeah, I've been pretty frustrated, I'm not going to lie. Everything that has transpired up until this point has been disappointing and frustrating. I've wanted to continue my career here. I've created my life here. My wife and I have bought our first home here. So this has been somewhere where I've always wanted to be.
And at one point he said, quote, make no mistake, this is where I want to be. He also realizes it's business.
To a certain degree, when you feel you have a way of feeling that what you've proven up until this point, and when you see that is put in front of you of how somebody perceives you or values you, that's disappointing. It's a little bit disrespectful.
Well, disrespectful or not,
well, he's going to turn 30 in September. So he's...
that's where his legs fall off, right, when he just turns 30.
Well,
that's the thing,
the analytics.
How old was Randy Moss when he was with the Patriots?
Oh, he's probably about 33, 34, maybe.
Yeah, I would say.
And he was still pretty damn productive.
Yeah, I'm
then.
Not saying that Terry McLaurin isn't a productive player. The question for the Washington Commanders is how much guaranteed money do they want to give him and how long of a contract do they want to give him?
I mean,
he's probably looking for a 4-year, $120 million contract, and they're not going to give him that.
But I think that's about right. I mean, you're still in your peak at 30, I would think, at that. It was Devontae Adams.
And like you said, he's been a great guy. He's been through a lot of crap down there, a lot of different quarterbacks. They finally got their quarterback, and, he should be a part of that.
So he played for first year in New England, Randy Moss. He was 30 years old in 2007. And then 31, 32, he also spent in New England, and he 1,000-yard season each one of those seasons he had. $14.93 in 2007.
So Terry McLaurin has a contract in place for this year.
Yes.
He's got 1 year left on his contract. So what he's probably trying to do, and maybe the halfway point or the midway point would be a 3 year, like $87 to $94 million contract.
He led the league in touchdowns too that year in 2007 with 23.
Yeah, he was. I remember he was ridiculous when he went there. I thought this was interesting. Talk about a kid who sounds more mature beyond his years. This was Arch Manning with the media yesterday. I didn't hear the question, but I believe it was he was responding to being listed in like the Heisman odds and his expectations, and his response was this.
I'm not really sure how they get these opinions, because I've only played, what, 2 games? But I guess that's nice of them to say, but, you know, that doesn't mean anything. Talk is cheap. I got to go prove it.
That's a great attitude.
Yeah, well,
that is
look
pretty
at his
good.
Family.
Yeah, I know. That is very true. And then I thought these were interesting. Baron Davis on the Paul George podcast, I think a couple of days ago, was talking about Jalen Brunson and the Knicks-Pacers series. And talk about what the Knicks' needs are and the high praise that he does indeed have for Brunson.
I think you need another guard.
Mm-hmm.
You need somebody that can handle pressure, bring the ball up. And if you put that dude in a block, one-on-one down the stretch, you got to
double.
Bro, you got to double.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. It's crazy. Nobody can guard him.
Yeah.
Nobody can guard him. He gets
crafty,
his.
Though.
Yeah, he's so crafty.
And he's talking about Brunson there. And then lastly.
Nobody can guard him, and he can't guard anybody else.
Well, that's true. That's a very good point. Then he goes on about the series.
Nobody on the Knicks outside of Jalen Brunson could bring the ball up the court. That's the only reason why they lost.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana puts pressure, you turn the ball over. Indiana puts pressure, then you extend your offense, and now, you know, Karl Anthony Towns got to play one-on-one from the top of the key the entire series.
And you at one point called him just a cold-blooded killer, Brunson.
This is why I think the Knicks were interested in some of these veteran point guards like Russell Westbrook and Ben Simmons that are terrible shooters but are good at running the offense, is that exact point that he's making. So we'll see.
We shall see. And the Fever beat the Sun 85-77. Caitlin Clark did suffer a groin injury. Not sure of the severity going forward. All right. Moment of the day. This is a long setup, and it's also a long moment of the day, but, well, we've got time.
Yeah.
So a very long conversation in the 7 o'clock hour, I think, about the villages in Florida today. According to one newspaper story, just to dummy it down a little bit, some residents there put different colored loofahs on their cars to display their sexual preferences. And at the end, a caller who says he lives there would chime in with all of this as well.
It says here, white loofah, novice and beginners, purple voyeur who likes to watch.
And you're watching this happen?
I am.
So I am. Al's a purple guy.
Pink is soft swap. People like to do it with others in the room. That's a soft swap. Black, full swap.
Plowed his wife.
Those who say, what the hell, let it all go down. And the teal loofah is the bisexual loofah. And apparently not as many STDs as rumored.
Right.
Oh,
that's good to know.
Yeah, it's
good
that's
to know
good for the folks down there.
Right in the ass.
Jesus. I was like the young guy. I'm in my 30s. Everybody was trying to get me to bang their wife, bro. Dude, I had to fend these guys off. I'm like, dude, I don't do that stuff. I'm only here because my mom can't come. I made the biggest mistake by moving my girlfriend in, right?
Oh, my God.
So my girlfriend's like, she's 28 at the time. All these old guys are trying to bang my girlfriend. They're all trying to come on to her. They're all like, hey, I got this money. I got my millionaire. I have a Bugatti. I have a Lamborghini.
Oh,
dude, no. I had to get out of there. I had to get out of there before I kill somebody. Because everybody was trying to get at my girlfriend.
Wow.
Yeah, but then again, you were also being asked to...
You were getting propositioned yourself.
They wanted you to be a...
Yeah. Dude, they were trying to pay me. These guys were offering me money. They wanted to watch me bang their wives. It's crazy. That place is a cesspool.
So that's the purple loofah.
There you go. Moment of the day.
You successfully encapsulated that whole situation.
I did the best I could.
That went on for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, we learned a lot, and we debunked some theories as well along the way with the Villages, we think. All right, Jerry, good stuff.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
Did we make a big enough deal out of Pete Alonso's home run last night?
There was one guy who was holding on for a long time to talk about that. I mean, I could guarantee, even though I didn't speak to that guy, that he was an older baseball fan that probably thought, you know, like, you know, great moments in All-Star game history. And this is Pete Alonso as a Met hitting a three-run homer. Just the problem was it ended up not being the game-winning home run because they had to go to the swing-off. You know, it's also.
It would have been great had he been a part of the swing-off.
Yeah, and he wasn't a part of the swing-off either. But, yeah, no, it was great.
I have to say, as a Met fan, seeing four Mets out there yesterday, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that was always the thing growing up as a kid.
Yeah.
Is I wanted to see my guy in his uniform. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
And that was always my lore to the All-Star game when it wasn't really what it is today in terms of the presentation and the way that they go about introducing the players now and everything else. You know, that wasn't the case back in the day.
Last Met to hit a home run in an All-Star game?
Pete Alonso. No. Did it last night.
No, but prior to that. You know?
That's a good question. Carlos Beltran.
No, it was David Wright, 2006.
Okay.
Yeah, I read that this morning. Not like I remembered that.
Yeah,
I didn't remember it. I just
read but it you're not a big All-Star guy.
I'm not a big All-Star game guy, no. I'm not.
But you have to say that they in this particular All-Star game, unlike the NBA All-Star game, the NHL All-Star game, certainly the NFL Pro Bowl when they used to play, well, when I played it, they tried to kill us. Because the defensive linemen all wanted that freaking card that they got as the MVP.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And that's, you know, and we I remember it was the first couple times that went, there were only two of us. And then they added a third quarterback.
I mean, now I feel like the nobody, like, it's to get
flag football now.
Yeah, it's flag football. I mean, like, but nobody wants to play it.
You wouldn't want to play it either, I'm telling you.
Well, probably not.
Especially now after they're playing 17 regular season games and they're going to go to an 18th eventually.
They don't even go to Hawaii. It's Orlando. Now, no knock on Orlando, but it's not Hawaii.
Right. It was fun going to Hawaii all those years.
Oh, sure.
And actually, I covered it for ABC and Westwood One for about 8 or 9 years over there.
I mean, that's just as good as it gets.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
Took one trip to Hawaii. It was amazing. Love to take this. I was saying this family because I went with my mom and my dad.
That sounded
weird. I'd love to take my kids now and Gina there. It would be very, very cool. But yeah, you had a bunch of buddies down there, I'm sure. You know, guys like Morton Anderson you're hanging out with in Hawaii.
Yeah, all the ex-players that were showing up.
Yeah, all the guys that were there.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Pretty
great
cool
guys,
stuff.
Man. Great guys.
Great guys.
And that's where you get to meet a lot of the guys that back in the day, we didn't fraternize like they do today.
Right.
A lot of fellas on yachts these days.
A lot of fellas on yachts is right, especially the NBA guys, man.
Man, they're all over the place.
And I don't blame them. I'm not hating on those guys at all, but there are so many, like, TikTok, Instagram reels of NBA guys on yachts this time of year. Giannis.
Dude, they are living the life.
Mykonos, yeah. Everybody on Amalfi Coast.
I thought Giannis bought a house in Southampton.
He probably did. I mean, he's got... God knows how he's making $60 million a year, I'm sure.
Exactly.
He's got a house in Southampton. He's got, I mean, if he's out in Southampton, does he have a place in the city, too? He always talks about loving the city.
Yeah, I have no idea.
A place in Greece.
Greece.
God damn. It's unbelievable.
It's
good for him. He's earned it.
It's too bad that you're not 6'11 and can shoot threes.
I know. Right.
Instead, you know, you're on your boat and you're getting stuck in the Great South Bay. By the way, I was just seeing a guy, I think ESPN just had him on out, and some guy rode 600 miles across the Atlantic.
In what type of vessel?
In a rowboat.
No.
Yes, he was rowing 600 miles across the Atlantic. And I was thinking to myself, could you, Geo, could you row from where your boat is docked in Sayville over to Fire Island?
No.
Are you sure?
Row?
Yeah. You couldn't row from Sayville to Fire Island?
No, I don't. Well.
Across the Great South Bay?
I mean, I guess. It would have to be completely flat. If it's completely flat, like early in the morning, no wind, I could do it. But if once that chop starts coming up,
yeah,
there's just no chance.
Yeah, so this crazy guy. Let me see.
I mean, what in the hell? I mean, you're just asking for it.
Bryce Carlson.
You are just asking to die. You know?
Yeah.
Like these wingsuit guys. Ever see the wingsuit guys?
I do, yeah. I've seen them, yes.
That has got to be the most frightening thing. It's cool to watch. They put the cameras on their heads.
It's a world record attempt is what it is.
Okay.
I mean, here's a guy that's rowing 3,000 miles across the Atlantic Oceans. Wow.
I mean, guys.
Come on.
Get a new hobby, will you?
But.
Play some pickleball or something.
Yeah, but you don't think you could do it across the Great South Bay?
Not in chop. I wouldn't. I would quit.
Okay.
But if it was total flatness, if it was like that 14-mile-an-hour like southwest wind, there's no way in hell I would do it. Okay. Because I'd start at Sable, it'd be blowing into my face, you know?
Yeah.
There was no way that could happen. But if I had, like, totally calm or a north wind, I could deal with that.
I don't think you could. I don't think you could do it.
I could do it if it was flat.
I'll give you the flat day. And you have to do it in a certain amount of time.
Oh, okay. Well, that's different.
I mean, you can't take 24 hours.
I wouldn't take 24 hours. Well, how many hours would you give me?
I don't know.
Five?
5 hours?
Yeah, I could do it in 5 hours.
That's
not that far.
That's what I'm saying. 5 hours is ridiculous. So, I would say like give me three.
You want three hours?
3 hours.
3 hours in a rowboat? Are you getting me providing the rowboat?
I'll provide it, yeah.
It's got to be of, you know, up to standard.
Of course. I'm not going to put you in like a little dinghy.
Yes, you would put me in a dinghy. For your own entertainment, you would put me in a dinghy.
I'm going to put you in a dinghy.
You would.
I will get you a serious rowboat.
Okay. Yeah, I could do that.
You want a rubber one? or do you want a fiberglass one or you want a wood one?
I want the lightest one.
The lightest one.
Yeah.
It could be one of those little rubber ones.
Well, okay. Does it have an engine on the back?
No.
Just start the thing up if I need to.
No, I'll get Captain Dave out there and
just to be
make sure that nothing happens to you.
He'll just take one of the ferries and just.
I don't think you could do it.
No, I could do it in 3 hours. 3 hours?
I could definitely
do it in 5 hours.
So we have to go. You would have to go for where's your boat docked?
It's in Sayville.
All right, it's in Sayville. Sayville to Ocean Beach.
Sable to Ocean Beach. I mean, if I go, but that's sort of, I'm going, you know, I'm making it longer. I'm going on an angle.
Yeah, but I don't want you, I don't want you to go like the shortest spot.
Well, why not? You said.
I want you to go from Sable to Ocean Beach in rowing. 3 hours.
The other thing, too, that's dangerous about this is when you're out in the middle of the bay like that and I'm on a rowboat, there's a good chance that someone's not seeing me. So that's why I'm really.
Well, that's why
need...
we'd have to have like a boat with you, like you know, just to make sure you're okay.
Right, right.
That kind of thing.
But that boat's got to also be in a place where it has. It's going to have to
be on the side of the boat.
But it's got to be behind me, so its wake isn't screwing up my flat bay.
We could do this.
Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but.
I mean, my arms would be shot by the end of this, but I could do it. On a flat day, I think I could do it.
All right.
You're saying no training either?
I mean, if you want to train for it, we just got to pick a couple days. What's the best time? Early in the morning?
Yeah, early in the morning. Yeah, it would have to be very, like this,
I mean,
this morning.
This guy here is doing 600 miles.
Well, right. I mean, so you got people who run marathons too. I can't do that.
Yeah, but I'm not asking you to run a marathon.
Asking me to go 600 miles?
It's like me saying, can you run a half a mile?
Well, I could do that. I ran, last summer I ran 4 miles.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, so I'm good.
It's all right.
I can do that. Pull that off.
I would like to see you row across the Great South Bay.
All right. If I get all the safety precautions nailed down,
right.
You know, life vest, sidecar boat.
Oh, geez, yes. Let's go Ron to Keensburg. Ron, what's happening?
Hey, Uncle Boomer, I think you missed a little subliminal message from your partner there. I think he was asking Uncle Boomer to send the family to Hawaii a few minutes ago.
Yeah, no, it's not what I'm doing.
You know what? I would go with him, though.
No, it's not, absolutely not what I was doing. I was saying that I'd love to take my family there one day, just like my family took me.
I think that the thing that you have to do is you got to go to Oahu first. That's where everybody goes.
Yeah.
Where all the tourists go. And then you go to the Big Island. Then you can go to Kauai.
Yeah. We went to Maui and Kauai.
Maui, you know, hopefully it's rebuilt, you know, getting in the middle of being rebuilt after the fires there.
Right.
Yeah, that strip along that strip along Maui where those fires took place, man, that was beautiful.
I'm trying to think
one of my favorite restaurants, Longies, was there.
Oh yeah, you know that went to that place. Their slogan was "What the F."
Was it really?
Yeah, I went there and I had a T-shirt that was Longies on the front and then on the sleeve it said "What the F."
Really?
Yeah. I mean, but the full.
That's one of the great seafood restaurants.
And they used to not put prices on their menu, too.
They're very expensive.
Yeah, well, that's what somebody was... And it's amazing I remember this as well as I do. But there was a guy who was bitching and moaning at the employee about the prices, and they weren't on the menu and everything. And I was like, dude.
Then leave.
Exactly. You ruined my experience now. I'm trying to enjoy Longies. I got to hear your complaints. Get out of here with this. You know, this is going to be a once-in-a-lifetime situation. I'm here in Maui. I don't have to listen to you bitching about the menu. Zip it. Take it somewhere else.
Oh, man.
Pal.
Where was the guy from? Was he from New York?
No, it didn't sound like it. No, did not sound like it.
Okay.
God would have remembered that. No, it was snooty. You know, probably California. Like one of those California D-bags. You know, one of those guys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
One of those yuppie California guys.
Yuppie California guys.
That's definitely who was bitching about that menu.